Again, we have an opportunity to look together into the Word of God. And we are in Jeremiah. We've been there for a long, long time. And constantly, there are lessons that we learn from this. Right now, we're learning what happens when we reject the Word of God and go our own way. And it's very applicable to what is happening in all of the churches. God has commanded again and again through the Bible that finally when we got to this time in history that the churches are no longer under the care of God. Well, ultimately they are, of course, but he has installed Satan there to rule there, and he's commanded the believers to get out, to get out. And of course, there are all kinds of churches that are figuring, no, well, that's, we look around and we see a lot of bad churches in our city. We see a lot of strange things that they're doing, but that isn't us. That isn't us. Our church, we're different. We are faithful to the Word of God. And it may be that God is finished with a lot of the churches, but not ours, not ours. We're going to remain. And God typified this by what happened to the people of Judah when God had given the command, you've got to get out of Judah. And he had actually brought Nebuchadnezzar in to rule over Judah. And yet there were quite a number of people who just felt, no, somehow we can remain behind. And they seemed to have the blessing of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, on this. So they felt that God was on their side. And even though God had warned them and warned them and warned them, you have to get out. And because some of these individuals, we looked at the names of people like Gedaliah and Johanan. We haven't really talked a whole lot about him yet. We're going to get to him in a little while. But these men were of high repute. They were princes. They were friends of Jeremiah. They protected Jeremiah at times. And they were convinced that, somehow we can still stay here. And this influenced a whole lot of other people who may have had no opinion. And they also then felt, well, if these princes, if these men of God, they certainly look like men of God, are planning to stay here, then certainly it is safe for us to stay. And then in our last study, we began to see the end of these who did remain. And the first thing we saw was that one man who, again, was a man that was highly regarded, and he got greed, he got stars in his eyes because of all the land, perhaps, all the goodies that could be claimed, because most of the people had been killed or had been driven off to be captives. And so he decided he wanted to be governor. Gedaliah, a man by the name of Gedaliah, had been made governor by the order of King Nebuchadnezzar. But now he wanted to be governor, and he did what was not uncommon in that day. He decided to murder Gedaliah. And in the process of doing this, he not only murdered Gedaliah, but a whole host of people with him. We read in Jeremiah 41 that in verse 2, then arose Ishmael, the son of Nethaniah, and the 10 men that were with him, and smote Gedaliah, the son of Hicham, the son of Shaphan, with the sword, and slew him, who the king of Babylon had made govern governor over the land. Ishmael also slew all the Jews that were with him, and the men of war. And so it was a big slaughter. And then 80 more men came down to visit with him, weeping and wanting to show their humility and their worship of God. They came to Mizpah to see Gedaliah, and Ishmael acted like he was just like them. He met them also weeping, and then he immediately began to kill them off, until of the 80, 70 were killed. And then the next verse of Jeremiah 41 gives us a little insight as to what was going on in the mind of Ishmael, who was doing all the murdering. Because he says in verse 8, but 10 men were found. This is among the 80 that came to do God the honor by coming very humbly to worship God there. But they were all in rebellion because no one had obeyed the command to get out of Jerusalem or out of Judea. 10 men were found among them that said unto Ishmael, slay us not, for we have treasures in the field of wheat and of barley and of oil and of honey. So he forbare and slew them not among their brethren. That, why did God put that there? Well, the only thing I can think of, there may be other reasons, but the only thing I can see here is greed. Greed, because these crops were very valuable, and Ishmael saw an opportunity. If he could be governor of Judea, then he would have the ownership of, or have be able to collect a lot of things for himself. And so when he saw 10 men that truly or not truly, we don't know, said that they had treasures, notice the word treasures, then he did not kill them. So God, I think, put this there just to give us a little insight, greed. And that's what keeps the churches going. If no pastors received any salary anymore, how many churches do you think would still flourish? How many? You know, pastors find that this is their place in life. They are like they are a profession. They are a profession like the medical profession or the attorney legal profession. And many times they can make great salaries as their church grows. And if their church is not growing, at least they look with starry eyes at churches that they know about that are growing and getting bigger and bigger. And they keep hoping that'll be me someday too. And so it's a career. It's a career that they're following. And not only there's other nice things about it, you know. It's there's something nice for these pastors when they bring a good sermon and they're standing in the door at the entrance and people are coming by and greeting them and thanking them. And, you know, they just look good in the eyes of people. It builds up their ego. Ego is a, pride is a real, real dangerous thing. But it also goes with being governor, like Ishmael. If he could be the governor, that's a lot better than just being an important man in the, amongst the Ammonites, where he was part of. Well, anyway, then God did something very interesting. In the next verse, now the pit, or and so there is this big pit in Mizpah, and there are well over 100 bodies, we don't know, maybe a couple of 100 bodies that have been thrown into that pit. So it was a big pit. It was not a small one. Now the pit wherein Ishmael had cast all the dead bodies of the man whom he had slain because of Gedaliah, was it which Asa the king had made for fear of Baasha the king of Israel, and Ishmael the son of Nethaliah filled it with them that were slain. Okay, now, why did God make a reference to Asa? Asa, man, he was 200 years earlier. What could this be? So we searched the Bible and looked for the word pit in connection with Asa. We can't find it. We can't find it. What is he talking about with Asa? Well, we're going to have to take a little detour and look at Asa, because we're going to learn some more about what man does. When we go back to 2 Chronicles, and incidentally, when you start reading about Asa, which is not untypical of the way God wrote about the kings of Israel and Judah, you get all confused as to when this happened or that happened, because God has hidden the timeline of the kings of Judah and Israel so that they are not easily found. If you get a copy of the book, The Perfect Harmony Between the Kings of Judah and Israel, you'll find it all solved, because it all works out perfectly once we learn how to do it. But that's an extra piece of information that you can have if you are interested. And that book is free, The Perfect Harmony of the Kings of Israel and Judah. Now, we read about Asa. Asa was really a very, very fine man. We read in 2 Chronicles 14, verse 2, "And Asa did that which was good and right in the eyes of the Jehovah his God, for he took away the altars of the strange gods and the high places, and brake down the images and cut down the groves, and commanded Judah to seek the Jehovah God of their fathers and to do the law and the commandment. And he took away out of all the cities of Judah the high places and the images, and the kingdom was quiet before him. And he built fenced cities in Judah, for the land had rest, and he had no war in those years, because of Jehovah had given him rest. And therefore he said unto Judah, let us build these cities, and make about them walls, and towers, gates, and bars, while the land is yet before us, because we have sought Jehovah our God. We have sought him, and he hath given us rest on every side. So they built and prospered." And then it talks about his army that he had. And then in verse 9, it talks, "And there came out against them Zerah the Ethiopian with a host of 1,000,000. If you can imagine an enemy coming with 1,000,000 men to fight with you, with a host of 1,000,000 and 300 chariots, and came unto Maresha. Then Asa went out against him, and he set the battle in array in the valley of Zephathan at Maresha. And Asa cried unto Jehovah his God." Now, it's very important that we recognize what Asa is doing here. This is very, very important. "And Asa cried unto Jehovah his God and said, Lord," or Jehovah, "it is nothing with thee to help, whether with many or with them that have no power. Help us, O Jehovah our God, for we rest on thee, and in thy name we go against the multitude. O Jehovah, thou art our God. Let not man prevail against thee." So Jehovah smote the Ethiopians before Asa and before Judah, and the Ethiopians fled. And Asa and the people that were with him pursued them unto Gerar, and the Ethiopians were overthrown, that they could not recover themselves. For they were destroyed before the Lord, before Jehovah, and before his host, and they carried away very much spoil or plunder, and they smote all the cities round about Gerar, and so on. Now, you see here an enormously beautiful illustration of trusting in the Lord. And brother, sister, this is something we have to learn to do too. We come up against, this is put in the Bible not for fun, not accidentally. It is to encourage us. You know, we get things happening in our life. This was a huge army that he was facing. And he did exactly the right thing. He was a man of God. He went to the Lord and he prayed for help. And that's our resource also. We always have Christ on our side. Of course, we have to be careful. A lot of times we are praying to the Lord that we want a certain solution to the problem. And that solution we want maybe not the solution that God wants us to have. And so we have to be careful when we go to the Lord. And, oh Lord, may your perfect will be done. And then what comes along, we, even though it may not agree with what we thought we needed, we know that is God's will. And that's best for us, because God always works out the best for those who are his children. And he knows a lot of things about us and what our needs are. And a lot of times what we need is a little discipline, or we need a little setback in our life, or we need this or we need that. But nevertheless, when we go to the Lord, we cannot miss. That is the way, the only way to do it. Okay, so everything I've read about Asa is AAA. He was a man of God. He did all the right things. And for the first 10 years of his reign, and we're going to find out that he was actually, there was an enormous tension between Asa and the king of Baasha, the king of Israel. Remember that Asa was the third king that began to rule after the divided kingdom, after Solomon died. 20 years had passed when he began to reign, and about 2 years later, Baasha began to reign over Israel, and they were at tension with one another. But we're going to find out that during the first 10 years or so of that, there was no open conflict of any kind. There was no open conflict. Asa was really to be commended in his faithfulness to the Word of God. But then as we go along, we read here in 2 Chronicles chapter 15, and there we read where Asa is being encouraged. In verse 1, and the Spirit of God came upon Azariah, the son of Oded, who would have been one of the prophets in that day. And he went out to meet Asa, and said unto him, Hear ye me, Asa, and all Judah and Benjamin. The Lord is with you. While ye be with him, and if ye seek him, he will be found of you. But if ye forsake him, he will forsake you. Now, this is a very interesting admonition to Asa. He is going to follow this, but he's also being warned. And that's what the Bible does to us too. You know, it's one thing to say, if you follow the Word of God, you do it God's way, you will be blessed. But, remember, if you turn away, then you're not going to be blessed. In other words, God gives both the plus and the minus. And we have to keep the minus in very great view. We're going to see that Asa did not and got himself into real trouble. Now for a long season, this is Azariah speaking. For a long season, Israel had been without the true God or without a teaching priest and without law. But when they in their trouble did turn unto Jehovah God of Israel and sought him, he was found of them. And in those times there was no peace to him that went out, nor to him that came in, but great vexations were upon all the inhabitants of the countries. And nation was destroyed of nation, and city of nation, for God did vex them with all adversity. In other words, your enemies, they had their troubles, because God was on your side. And be ye strong, therefore, and let not your hands be weak. This is an admonition to Asa. It's an admonition to all of us. For your work shall be rewarded. And when Asa heard these words and the prophecy of Oded the prophet, he took courage and put away the abominable idols out of all the land of Judah and Benjamin, and out of the cities which he had taken from Mount Ephraim, and renewed the altar of Jehovah that was before the porch of Jehovah. And he gathered all Judah and Benjamin, and the strangers with them out of Ephraim, and Manasseh, and out of Simeon, for they fell to him out of Israel in abundance, when they saw that Jehovah his God was with him. Verse 16, and concerning Maacah, the mother of Asa, she was the queen. She was the had been married to his father, Abijah. So she was the mother queen. She was in high authority. And also concerning Maacah, the mother of Asa, the king, he removed her from being queen, because she had made an idol in a grove. And Asa cut down her idol and stamped it and burned it at the brook Kidron. You know, he really, to remove his mother from the position of queen, took a lot of courage, and because that could have created all kinds of uproar in the kingdom. But the high places were not taken away. Nevertheless, the heart of Asa was perfect all his days. Again, we have come to that point where I have to say goodbye, because we have run out of time insofar as being able to work on this chapter any longer. And I trust that you will ponder what you have learned, what I have learned, because I am learning at the same time you are learning, and be encouraged to read the Bible yourself more and more and more. You can't do anything that is more valuable for your life than to spend time reading the Bible.